sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was very perplexed by these words and pondered what sort of a greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and will bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age is also conceived, and she's in her sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said to the angel, "Here I am, a servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And the angel left. In those days, Mary set out quickly and went to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leaped for joy, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she that believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. For surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God's mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, God has shown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down powerful from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then she went home. I was sitting in my class in grade one and a little bit bored. I was thinking about my home and how it was in the world I could possibly learn how to ride my bicycle. And I had this great idea. I would go to the hill, mounded construction hill of the basement that was dug beside my parents' new home in Edmonton, and I would put my bike on the top of the hill, and I would get on it, and gravity would shoot me down the hill. And at the bottom, I'd know how to ride my bike. And I know you're as nervous as I am, but that worked. And I said, "Bring it on." I remember when I was learning to fly an airplane, that first day in Villeneuve Airport, I had maybe 15, 20 hours under my belt as a pilot. And my instructor said, "Rick," said to me, I can still hear him speak it into my ears, "Jim, you know, I think you're good to do a solo by yourself today." And I can still see the propeller spinning as he got out of the airplane, and now I was going to fly this thing on my own, because I thought, bring it on. I remember when Ingrid and I was kind of way more interested than I thought she was, and we decided to go out on a date, and it was our first date, and I was so completely nervous, but so committed, but I was so shaky. I knocked the Parmesan cheese over on the table where we were meeting for pizza, but I had said, bring it on. I remember when I was figuring out what to do after my first church, and people had said I should start a new one, and I remember this day when I spent time praying because I had another job I could do that made way more sense. But after this day of praying by myself, I knew that I knew that I knew. Oh, this is so dumb. I've got to start a church. This is not going to work, but I knew that I knew that I knew that I had to bring it on. If you go through Scripture, we've been looking through this idea of bringing it on. There's a whole series of people that we can trace from the beginning of the story to the end of the story as we read it, of people who say, bring it on, and don't. And I can think of many times in my life when I didn't say yes, and other times when I said, all right. And there's a collection of stories from Abraham when he says to God, here I am. And God calls him to do something that's out of the box, awful, wild, unbelievable, unheard of. We went through the story this last summer of Jonah when God calls him, and he doesn't exactly say, bring it on. He actually runs in the opposite direction, but in the end, he ends up doing what God wanted him to do, although God used him in spite of. Or in Isaiah 6, when God says to Isaiah, who will send? Who can I send? And Isaiah says to God, bring it on. Or Noah, when God asks him to build the ark. Or Rahab, when she shelters two men coming out to spy the promised land. Rahab the prostitute, who says yes. Or Esther, when Mordecai asks her for such a time as this, to save her people, and at huge risk, she says, bring it on. Or Naomi, when she goes with Ruth into a land to follow her mother-in-law into grief, when their families have despaired, she says, bring it on, basically. And the stories of Scripture are one after another of people saying yes or no, or maybe so, and God working in spite of when we say no or when we say yes. But today we listen to this crazy story of Mary again, this very young woman, probably in her early teens, when the angel of God appears to her and she says, bring it on, bring it on. Mary, do you know what you're facing? Do you know what you're dealing with? Do you know where this story is going to take you? And the answer is no, she does not. But the step one of our bringing it on is simply saying to God, here I am, which is what Mary said to the Lord. God, I'm here. I'm available. This phrase, here I am, which God used and others responded with Isaiah, with Abraham, with Mary, here I am, with Samuel, the young boy who says to God, here I am. When he hears a voice he doesn't recognize in the temple serving with Eli the priest, is a series of stories of people just saying, yes, okay, I'm here. And it's the simplest and most risky prayer we can make, I think, often, is to say to God simply this, I'm available. I'm here. You want me? I'm yours. Take me. Let's try this. Go for it. And we do that, right? That's the first step. But Mary does something else after that, and we've covered this terrain before, but it's worth repeating because what she says in this moment when the Spirit of God has come upon her, perhaps borrowing from Hannah's song, this wonderful poetry, but she says it nonetheless, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And the second thing that happens in this beautiful moment where the universe seems to come together for this dear young woman, and God is offering her a promise, is she makes God bigger than her circumstances, so that her consciousness of the presence of God is larger than her surroundings. We covered that at Thanksgiving, but it bears repeating again, is that Mary says, my soul, and she makes God bigger until her awareness of God's presence in her life is larger. Now, what happens as a result of that is kind of remarkable, because her prayer seems for us, if we read it and think about it, to go off the rails just a bit. But Mary says, God, my soul magnifies you, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked on the lowliness of his servant, for surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. Call you blessed, Mary? Oh, they might do that years from now. But do you know the estrangement that's going to happen between you and your husband, Joseph, when you go home and tell people, well, think about it, if your teenage child, if you had one, came home and told you they were pregnant and it was God who impregnated them, what you might think? You have a quick sense. Do you know, Mary, that as a result of your saying yes, you're going to flee and live as refugees in Egypt, scared for your lives, guided by dreams? Do you know that? Do you know, Mary, that in 6 weeks, 9 months-ish and 6-ish weeks, you're going to go dedicate this dear little child in the temple, and an old dear man, we'll cover this next Sunday, will speak over you that a sword will pierce your own soul too. And Mary, you don't know just how deep that sword will go. Do you know, Mary, that this dear child that you're welcoming into the world, you will see executed on the most horrible, unimaginable death? Did you know that? Did you know that that's where this is going? Did you know, Mary, that that's where you're going? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't think so. What does she know? She treasures and ponders these words in her heart. But she doesn't know, because we don't know where the journey takes us when we say yes to God. And so many of us here in this room said yes to God in our baptismal vows out of faithfulness, and we just didn't know where the journey was going to take us. And Mary didn't either. He's brought down powerful from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. Mary, Rome is in charge of your country. I don't know if you've been on the internet lately, but the opposite is true. The lowly are being oppressed, and the powerful are being lifted up, and the rulers are in charge, and the peasants are being harassed, and you're going to be a refugee, and the powerful are lifted up from the thrones and lifted up. Really, Mary? He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. Oh, no, 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 Mary. In your scriptures, the rich were seen as being blessed by God and the poor as being cursed. Are you sure about that? Are you sure that that is what God is doing amongst you and in you and around you? For God has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors. Oh, you see that now? But don't you know the hell that Israel went through all those years under capture by the Babylonians, first under enslavement by the Egyptians, where their people cried out to God, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land, Mary? Is that true? Is it true? And here's the secret. As Mary magnifies the Lord, and as her spirit rejoices in God, her Savior, the Holy Spirit opens her up to the power and the possibility of God's Spirit working in ways that she has, that have been true and will be true. And she seizes those promises even as she doesn't know where the road will take her. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is that sometimes God opens up the window just a crack to see the hope and the possibility in the midst of. And the Spirit tears back the curtain so that we get a larger glimpse of what is going on in our circumstances and in our life. And Mary has that moment on this day where the Spirit births a promise in her and births a reality in her that is not fully framed by her circumstances, is not fully framed by what will happen in her life, but is true nonetheless, and will be true and had been true, even at those times when it could not be seen or apprehended or grasped or taken a hold of. Because sometimes in faith, we hold on to the larger promise, even when we don't see it realized in our midst. Because that's what faith does sometimes. And Mary sees it with joy and hope and possibility. So what does that mean for us as we wander ahead? Mary's life was yielded to the Spirit of God. The early Anabaptists, the Mennonite folks many years ago, had this Galassonite word, mechwent, yieldedness. We've talked about that before. But a question for us in this Advent is, are you yielded to God? And it's not a question of judgment if you're not. It's a question of possibility if you're open to it. Are you open to the Spirit of God working through you? And often all that God needs, even if it's a reluctant one, is yes, or maybe, or I'd like to be, or not sure. But God can use that amazingly in our lives if we say yes. The second thing, of course, that she does is she makes God bigger than her circumstances. And it's the power and the possibility in the midst of. I mean, we sing about joy to the world, and we're going to sing it in a couple minutes again. But the Holy Spirit in us, as we thank God and as we rejoice for the life that we have and the situation that we have, God opens us up to the power of hope in our midst and in our circumstances, which is what Mary did. She sees the power and the presence of God even in the midst of. And the final thing is, very connected to the last one, is Mary says simply, let it be with me according to your word. In other words, Mary says to God, wherever this takes me, wherever this journey goes, wherever the path leads, I'm yours. And it wasn't easy. Simeon, who prophesied that a sword would pierce her own soul, she saw it. She saw her dear son dying on the cross in agony. In fact, one of the things he did was he gave her to St. John, John the Evangelist, to look after her after his death. But that wasn't the only thing that Mary saw. After the agony, in Acts chapter 1, it says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also with the early disciples when they were gathered together waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus said would come. So Mary saw it through, and she saw the pain and the agony and the awfulness, but she saw the light too. The light of the promise of God, that this light would be for all people, good news for all people, and her life would bear witness to that story as well. So what I'm inviting you to into this morning is this: the power of rejoicing in the midst of, as a step of faith, as a step of offering, and as a step of hope in the midst of. Whether you're carrying pain around family or circumstances or past. And the second thing is making God bigger, of course, so that we can see that. Offering ourselves to God to say, I don't know where this is going, but I'll trust you in this. And finally, let it be with me according to your word. Because God, wherever this thing takes me, I'm yours. I invite you to join me in praying together. Oh God, we just don't understand the mystery of how things work, of how your truth conspires against the reality that we see in front of us. We know the pain that many of us bear, the loss that so many of us fear and feel. And yet your hope, which bubbles like this unending stream, waiting to be received, waiting for us to drink from this water called the river of life. And so we hold all that before you. We thank you that Mary was able to sing, though she did not know where the journey was going to take her, that she said yes, though she did not know where the path would lead, and that your Spirit did an amazing and inspiring
And yes, all generations would call her blessed simply because she said, "Here I am." Oh God, give us the courage to do the same. Whether that's a small saying yes to relatives we'd rather avoid, or a big saying yes to a path we fear, Jesus, give us courage. Thank you that you go ahead of us and that your promise is never to leave us. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us all receive our King.